Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading today comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and chapter 4, 7 through 12. Listen now for God's word. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
First, our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians 16. Keep alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I've heard from many people today about the graduations they've been attending in the last week. I know our District 214 high schools, Prospect, Hersey, Rolling Meadows, had their graduations on Wednesday. I was at a graduation in Louisville last weekend for a high school senior. And so it's just that season. Wherever you go over to North School Park, and on any given day, you might see some senior pictures being taken. Most of the seniors that I congratulated this morning were far closer to TC than they are or were to me. You've probably noticed, but there's a bit of an age disparity on our staff. I'm really old, and they're all really young. But we work together wonderfully. I did a little research as I prepared for my address to the baccalaureate class of 2022, and I learned that most of their parents were born when I was in high school. And most of them were born when my children were in high school. Yeah, don't hang around with me, you'll end up feeling pretty old. However, as my colleague Chris Urban recently reminded me, what I miss in youth, I have made up for in wisdom. And I do believe that I have some wisdom for all of you this morning, even for high school seniors, that can be carried through the ages. I want to acknowledge that all of those who are growing up and entering adulthood right now, who are making life-altering decisions, are living in a really difficult and uncertain time. And we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that for our graduates, both high school, college, master's degree. As a country, we are struggling to emerge from a pandemic that has thrown everything up for grabs. The pandemic also highlighted some very real social justice issues that we're still facing as a country. Issues that back in my day, we thought we had made progress on, and now we're finding out maybe not quite as much as we had hoped. We're living in a time of increasing racism, and all you have to do is look at the news accounts of the shooting in Buffalo last weekend and know that that is a truth. We are divided as a country. It's so much harder. I bet most of you remember when we had that wide, moderate middle ground in our country, a place where we could come from the right or from the left and talk in the middle. And there wasn't animosity, and there wasn't a feeling of being threatened, and there wasn't all the uncivility that goes on these days. It's increasingly difficult to have a conversation about any difference of opinion that any of us might share in a way that is non-threatening. Our economy is struggling. Prices are out of control, including the cost of a college education. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to offer this example. I went to college back in 1974. I was privileged. My parents paid for my college education. It cost them $4,000 a year, tuition, room, and board, for me to go to a private liberal arts school. $4,000 a year, $16,000 over 4 years, give or take. My children all went to public universities in the state of Kentucky, and that $16,000 was about what it cost for one semester of education, not room and board, without room and board included. And that was for a state public university. It's no secret that private universities cost in excess of $50,000 and $60,000 a year. That is far outpaced the changes in income since the 70s. And so it's really hard to get a college education without going into debt. When I was graduating from high school and going on to college, I felt like the world was my oyster. There wasn't anything I couldn't do or be. It was an incredibly exciting time for me. And I hope it is still an exciting time for our graduates. I hope all of us can find those glimpses in this world where we do have opportunities and hope. But I will also say that I believe this is the hardest time it has ever been in our country's history for those beginning to take those steps into adulthood. And in fact, most of them won't get fully into their adulthood until 30. And I say that with experience of 3 children. We live in a complicated and confusing time. There are lots of crises facing our world today, and the coming generations will be among the generations that have to come together to solve those problems. The millennials, the Gen Z, some of the Gen X, baby boomers, my generation, we're starting to fade out of the picture. It's the generations after us that are going to have to really work hard to make our world a better place. There are a lot of crises facing the young people today, lots of crises. And they don't need a college degree. Nobody really needs a college degree to fight some of those crises that are facing us, to make a difference in our world, to be part of the solution. I'm guessing that many in this room have given time and energy to solving some of the problems that we are currently facing. That time and energy will be a hard pull on our younger generations. There are 3 qualities that I think every high school graduate needs, but I will say to you all this morning, I think there's 3 qualities that each of us, all of us together, can work on, to build on, that will contribute to making our world a better place. Not only our world, but our church, our own personal lives, our community, a better place. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul writes to the new Christians in Corinth, and he says this: keep alert. They're new Christians. There's a lot of stuff coming in at them. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Now, it takes courage. If you don't remember, think hard now. The courage it took for you to walk across that stage in high school, Get your diploma, receive your handshake from the principal or the president of the board or whoever was there to offer a handshake. It took courage to walk down those steps in front of all those people who are so proud of you, who have so many expectations for you. And it takes courage to say goodbye to that K-12 public education, because now there are all new rules, and it is going to be very different. It will take courage for our high school students to pack up their rooms and pack up their cars in starting around the 1st of August, going through the 3rd or 4th week of August. They're going to head to a room, they're going to head to a university where they don't know many people. They're going to head to share a room with somebody they perhaps have never met before. I still have a vivid image of my daughter sitting in her bed one day during her senior year of high school. And when I went into her room and I said, "Katie, what is the matter? She's a notoriously happy child. What is the matter, sweetheart?" "I don't want anything to change. I don't want to ever leave this room. I don't want to ever leave my friends. I don't want to leave high school. I just want to stay here forever." I'm happy to tell you we did not have to sell her with the house. In fact, she did leave. She went off to a marvelous 4 years of undergraduate, then graduate work, and now she's a marriage and family therapist, helping other parents encourage their children to leave their bedrooms. What I told her is that it doesn't matter if you don't want it to change, it will change. It is changing. It will always change. So you will need courage to face those changes. Now, courage is not the opposite of fear. So don't mistake it for that. Courage is the ability to push forward even when you are scared to death. Courage looks like choosing a university where you know absolutely no one. Courage also can look like taking a gap year between high school and college, between college and graduate school, or between college and your work life. A gap year, if you don't know, that's kind of a new invention. It's very popular now, and I think it's a great idea. It gives a student a chance to travel, to do a year of volunteer work, to sort things out and figure out where they want to be. Courage can also look like going to technical school, to learning a trade, becoming a fixer of computers. I can't imagine a job that will be in more demand. It can look like going to community college simply because their parents told them they could not stay in the basement and play video games for the rest of their lives. Courage can look like borrowing a lot of money so you can get your college education. It can also look like taking on scholarships and knowing that you then have to perform at a very high standard so you can keep those scholarships. And for those of us that are well past graduation, I think we all know a thing or two about courage, don't we? I mean, sometimes it just takes courage to get out of bed in the morning. Amen? Other times it takes courage to figure out how we're going to go on in life without our life partner. It takes courage to face a job we don't love but we know we need. Courage to take a stand for something we truly believe in, even when it's not popular with our friends. Courage to face the change that is happening all around us, and to not be afraid of it, but to embrace it. Courage is also about learning to be flexible and allowing your plans to change over time. Some of the kids that go to college this fall will not go back to the same college in January. They'll figure out it's the wrong fit, they won't be able to make friends, they won't like the academics, they'll realize they're not ready. There's a million reasons, but they'll have to make a change. It's okay to change in midstream. Stand firm, be honest with yourself, and go about courageously making a change. That's true for any of us. You end up someplace you decide you don't want to be, then find the place you do want to be. Make a change. Take the initiative. Courage may be about changing a major or dropping a class that just isn't working for you. Courage may be about seeking help from a counselor or a therapist. And trust me, this isn't just for high school graduates. This is for every one of us in this room. We have lived through 2 years of hard, hard times that nothing prepared us for. I don't think anyone here would have predicted a 2-year shutdown of our lives as we knew them. And yet we've lived through it, and now we're trying to adapt to what it looks like. If you are depressed, if you feel anxious, if you can't sleep, if you can't eat, those are signs of depression. Or if you're eating too much, another sign of depression. Please seek help. Don't be afraid to reach out. Courage can also be about saying no to something that goes against your standards, your moral center, your sense of ethics. I urge all of us to keep alert, stand firm in our faith, be courageous, and be strong. And when you feel like you can't be strong, my words to the graduates were, remember that you have a whole family surrounding you. And that's true for almost everyone in here. And if you're a little short on family, then look around right now. Because this is your family. This is your household. You are beloved children of God. And this place can hold you up and hold you together when you feel like you're falling apart. The second quality that I commend to you is gratitude. Be thankful in everything. Even when you have 3 exams and a 20-page paper, anybody remember those days? I still dream about it. Even when you're pulling an all-nighter, be grateful. Or, for many of us, when we wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, be grateful. Count your blessings. Because you have a place to sit in the dark. Or perhaps you have a place where you can sit and turn on a light. Maybe you have a loved one in that quiet place with you. Or maybe you're all alone, but you still have a place and a roof over your head. So be grateful, even if you can't sleep at night. Be grateful for whatever opportunity comes your way, whether it's hard or easy, whether you judge it as good or bad, be grateful because it means you're still living and breathing and you're still part of this life. Be grateful because, trust me, in 36 years of parish ministry, I've met a lot of people who will never have anything close to what most of you and I take for granted, to most of what we know. We are privileged people, my friends. Sometimes that privilege is hard won. Sometimes that privilege hurts. But we are still privileged. So be grateful. And show your gratitude. We live in a world that focuses on the individual. Think less about yourself and more about everyone else. More about your peers. More about those, that generation coming after you because of the struggles they will face. Think more about the environment we're leaving. Think more about what it means to be present for the younger generations. And remember to say please and thank you. As I told those seniors in high school, please and thank you is among the first words that our parents teach us to say. They're good words. They're words that we should be using until the last day we breathe. So remember to say please and thank you. Living gratefully, starting and ending every day with gratitude, is a lifelong attitude that benefits all of us and all of those with whom we share this world. Now, the third quality is love. Love is a really good answer to almost any situation, to almost any difficulty. Love. Love is the fertile soil on which we can build attitudes like courage and gratitude. Love can be the foundation on which we build our future. Love can be the foundation in which we live our present. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We live in a global community. There are people all around us who have different, who speak different languages, who have different accents, who have different colors of skin, or different ways of dressing, or different things that they shop for in the grocery store and cook for their family. We live in a global community, and some of the people we meet are absolutely delightful and wonderful, and they broaden our world. And other people can get on our last nerve. That's life. Love them. You do not have to join their social club. You do not have to go grocery shopping with them. You do not have to eat what they eat or speak the language that they speak, but love them anyway. Love them in ways that help them get past their fear. Love them in ways that show how deeply you are and you have been loved. Love them in a safe way. Love them by respecting their values and their viewpoints. Love them because, just like you, they are born of God. The disciple in 1 John goes on to say, "Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another." No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. That's how we know about God. Through love, through the love we experience from one another, through the love that the Bible, that the scriptures talk to us about, through the love that we exhibited this morning when we baptized Bryn Willow, and I'm glad to see she's fallen sound asleep. It's my sweet voice. Now, most of you, if not all of you, were baptized. You've been confirmed. You've joined a church along the way. And when you are baptized, when any of us are baptized, there is an indelible seal placed on us in that moment. Whether we're like Bryn and only 4 months old and sound asleep, or whether we remember it as a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old or a 25-year-old. We are sealed. We are marked with a tattoo that nothing can erase, that says we belong to God. We are children of God. We are members of God's household. Our baptism is that which outwardly celebrates God's claim on us. And in our baptism, we are showered with God's love and grace, and we are given that fertile soil in which we can grow the attributes of courage and gratitude and hope and joy and peace. So we baptized Bryn at this service. Just for fun facts, to know and tell. She'll graduate in the year 2040. Had you all bothered to figure that out yet? 2040, class of 2040, friends, right here in front of us. And 18 years from now, there will be a person in this pulpit preaching a baccalaureate sermon, and I hope that they will remind Bryn of her baptism. I hope that she will be reminded every day between now and 2040 that she is a member of God's household, that she is a beloved child of God, and that there is nothing that Bryn can do or that you or I can do that will ever separate us from God's love and God's claim on our lives. We are children of God, beloved, forever in God's family. Friends, regardless of whether you are part of the class of 2022, and I don't think anybody here is, or part of the class of 2040, or part of the class of 1974 or 1948, or somewhere in between. Regardless, we are beloved children of God. We are part of the household of God. And whether you recognize it or not, God lives in you. And as you move about in this world, and all of us continue to make life-changing decisions every day for ourselves and for others, we too can be courageous. We too can be grateful in all things and in all circumstances. We too can remain certain that God resides in us. And because of that, each of us has an infinite ability to love one another. People we know and people we have never seen before. Our world is a crazy and scary place. When we live as though God resides in us, however, it can be less scary and more hopeful, more filled with promise, more filled with that feeling that we can do anything that we can imagine, and even more. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. And may Bryn Willow Lewis, class of 2040, also be given the gifts of courage and gratitude, and know that she is loved today and every day of her life, and that God resides in her. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.